not ready.
Blog Talk Radio.
Live on the road to MetLife Stadium, this is Teeing It Up Presents the Sunday Sprint. Mr. Luke Morrow is alongside. I'm your host, Jeremy Schilling, co-host Jeremy Schilling. Good morning, Luke. We're back.
Yes, good to be back. Good morning.
And we're one game in, and we're already talking concussion protocol. So, Dean Blandino's got his hands full right off the bat.
yeah, that's right. Maybe foreshadowing for the way the rest of the season will go with that that issue always being at the forefront. But, you know, it was a heck of a game outside of all the hits that Cam Newton may have taken up towards the head. But still an excellent game to begin the year, at least to me, a bit of a surprising win for the Broncos and their quarterback play, and a good start to the season.
It was, but you know what? You never know. All right, so we're going to start off with your Vikings against the Titans, and we will use this as an opportunity to do this. We talked on Monday about Bradford and the trade, and was it the right person and the right move and all that stuff. Here's my question. What was the ability of this team and how far they could go before the injury? And now with Sean Hill slash Bradford, where do you think this can go against Marcus Mariota in his second year?
That's a good question. I mean, I'll say this. Before the Bridgewater injury, whatever it may mean, I saw quote-unquote analysts and experts picking the Vikings both to either make it to the NFC Championship or the Super Bowl. Now, even with Sam Bradford, my boy Boomer Esiason still picked the Vikings to make it to the Super Bowl. So I guess that speaks a bit to the replacement that the Vikings were able to find, and maybe the lack of drop-off at the quarterback position. I love Bridgewater. I thought he was going to have a big year. But, you know, he only had 14 touchdown passes last season. I think Bradford can step in and replace that production as long as he's able to take care of the football. Now, today, with all that said, we'll see Sean Hill, but it's an interesting matchup against the Titans. Two similar teams, and I think the Titans should be an improved team this year. They still may be under 500, but they've only won five games over the past 2 years, but they have a lot of weapons, especially offensively. They're a very physical team, and to me, the game will come down to the matchup in the trenches, both run games with Murray and Henry for the Titans, and then obviously AP is going to have to play a big role, especially week one with Sean Hill, but once again, all year long.
Luke, I'm extremely offended by something you said. How is Boomer Esiason your boy? Boomer was my idol. I wanted to be the next left-handed quarterback of the Jets growing up. How is he your boy? He's my boy.
Maybe we could share, but either way, your boy, even better. That's even better. Your boy picked the Vikings to make it to the Super Bowl. I hope you like that.
So it's a Vikings-Jets Super Bowl. That's what you're saying.
I hope your boy's correct.
Here's my thing about the Titans. Don't you feel like Mariota has to become the next level quarterback if this team wants to do anything? There was so much promise for him. If this isn't the year he takes that next step, when is he going to take the next step? This is, I think, a big year for the Titans' future development.
I think it is a big year. I mean, they've made a lot of moves this offseason, brought in a lot of new guys. It all began with the new GM. So they're really trying to change things there in Tennessee after a couple of miserable years. But it'll be interesting for Mariota this year because I think they're going to be real run-heavy with those two backs. And even Mariota himself can run if they choose to, you know, throw a little of the zone read and whatnot in there. So, you know, I don't know how much they're going to ask from him this year, but with that said, when you have a good run game like that, it makes the quarterback's job even easier. So I think he's poised to have a good season, and the Titans obviously will need him to. You're on your way, as we segue from my Vikings to your Jets. You're on the way to that game, Jets-Bengals, where, of course, today will be an emotional day to start in the area there in New York City. But once you get to football between the Jets and Bengals, a big week one matchup for both of these teams to get going here early.
Look, this is a weird opening for the Jets. This is a six-game stretch where they could be 0-6 or 6-0 and anything in between. This is gut check time. This is a game that I think is as close to a week one must win as you'll find, just because I think there's a tone setting that can happen if you win a game like this. You can really help establish a winning culture that can carry you over to short week. The Jets play on Thursday night in Buffalo. This is one of those really interesting situations where I think there is some pressure to win today. There is some pressure to get this going. This is a Ryan Fitzpatrick-led team that is the oldest offense in the NFL, and either they're going to have to be young and fruitful and youthful and produce touchdowns and be successful, or they're going to be old, decrepit, broken down, have injuries, players that will fail, and this season will fall apart within the first 2 to 3 games. This is a really weird situation where this team is going to figure out within, I believe, the next 2 or 3 games, if they're a playoff team or if they're a bust. I really, really believe that. The back end of the schedule can save the season, but it may be too late by then, especially if they go 0-6. Think about that, Luke. You may have to, and just think about it this way. If you go 1-5 or 0-6, you basically have to go undefeated the rest of the way to save your season. That's a really tall order that will be decided within the first month, month and a half. For Cincinnati, they have to get off to a winning start. Look, this is a team that has not been successful in the playoffs, so maybe they need to lose the first 4 games. I don't know what Cincinnati has to do, but you have Andy Dalton, who's an elite next-level quarterback, and if the Jets' defense doesn't step up, this could be a very long day, and that's my concern, is that if this old Jet team comes out old, like Tiger may come out at the Safeway Open in a couple of weeks, it could be a very long start to the season. And as my dad asked me a couple minutes ago, how soon will the booze start if they fail? It's never good when that's a question you ask in the car on your way to the stadium.
Yeah, I think it's a fair question. Does Darrell Revis slow down A.J. Green today?
Say that again?
Does Darrell Revis slow down A.J. Green today?
I believe A.J. Green's going to win that battle, but I am concerned because Mr. Revis was a little slow last year. Now he blamed it on an injury that he had surgery on and is apparently healthy from, but I'm going to have to see it to believe it. Revis Island has gotten some more occupants in recent years, and that's never good. Speaking of guys that are banged up, Mr. Andrew Luck had a just woeful 2015. He couldn't stand upright, and that's not good when your star quarterback can't stand upright. He plays against the Lions, who I believe are on the precipice of going back to the old Lions. Matthew Stafford and company, they are just uneven. You know, the Packer Hail Mary against them is emblematic of their whole team. They're on the precipice of some wins, and then they lose the games. This is a Colts team that should be 4,000 times better than they were last year against a Lion team that much like the Jets, is either going to be a great success, especially with the Lion. Especially with your Vikings now being taken down a step, versus or they'll just be awful.
Yeah, I think you have the Colts trending in the right direction and the Lions going maybe in the wrong direction. The Colts should be better because Andrew Luck should be better, but it's going to be a bit of a tough start for him today because of that front seven that the Lions still have defensively that they're able to pressure the quarterback, so he'll be thrown kind of right into the thick of things. And on the other side for the Lions, I mean, they were under 500 last year. Now you take away Calvin Johnson, you ask Golden Tate to be a top receiver, and you have a banged-up offensive line still in Detroit for Stafford. So it's going to be an interesting situation for them because the Lions, during Stafford's tenure, have always relied on that offense. And this may be the worst offense they've had in quite some time in Detroit. Now, they got things going the second half of the year with the new offensive coordinator, Jim Bob Cooter, and we'll see if he has something up his sleeve this year. But if it takes any sort of adjustment period for the Lions, they may be in trouble because I don't think they have enough to overcome any sort of mistakes or even a slow start for that matter with some of the lack of talent that they have this year. They may be moving in the wrong direction, and then you can, by the end of the season, maybe talk about new head coach and all sort of changes there. So Detroit is an interesting situation this year as well.
Let's go to Giants-Cowboys. nothing like having a big rivalry game into week one. Look, Peyton made the call, and Eli's not available. So, you know, look, you know, for Peyton, he'll have to hang out on Tuesday with his brother. Eli now has to make sure that he's not the face of the Manning face for the family. This team needs to be better. There's a lot of people very worried in this area about the Giants. They don't believe they made the right offseason acquisitions to keep Eli Manning upright. He gets Victor Cruz back, which will be very helpful. But there's a lot of questions here about the viability of the Giants' offense. And then in Dallas, obviously, Dak Prescott, is this a situation where Tony Romo may be eclipsed if they play well? There's a lot of question marks in this game. I could see this game swinging wildly for both teams, and I just don't quite know what to expect in this game.
Yeah, I like the Giants this year. I personally like the moves they made in the offseason, and I like them in that NFC East. Now, they've lost something like 5 in a row to the Cowboys, but this is a different Cowboys team. They're starting a rookie quarterback, rookie running back for the first time since something like 1961. The Giants didn't spend all that money in the offseason just to lose to a rookie quarterback in week one. So even though it's in Dallas, even though it's a rivalry game, a divisional matchup, I'm pretty confident in the Giants' ability to go on the road and beat a young quarterback, because week one is going to be a little bit different than the preseason for Prescott.
Which is always a possibility. And finally, the Jimmy Garoppolo era begins tonight in Arizona. I thought that the Pats might shock some people in this game, but then I heard that Gronk is out. And when you eliminate Gronk, Luke, that's a big problem. It makes things a lot easier for this Cardinal defense. I think the Cards could be in the NFC Championship game. I think they're that good. So sad for the Pats, but fans, but I think you're going to lose tonight, which will make me very happy.
Even with Brady and even with Gronk, I think this is a tough matchup for the Patriots week one to go into Arizona. Now you take away those two guys. I mean, I think the chances for the Patriots to pull off a win are extremely slim. I never want to count them out, even without Brady, just because of Bill Belichick. But, I mean, the Cardinals, as you said, they're a favorite of mine in the NFC as well. And I think the Patriots, just because of who they are, will keep it close and competitive. But I certainly don't think they'll be able to pull off a comeback without their two biggest weapons offensively, or pull off an upset without their two biggest weapons offensively.
It's time to go to the end of the show, which means we have to make our game picks. What is your game of the week, Luke?
My game of the week, I'm going to go Dallas and New York, even with the rookie quarterback. Those two always play great games, especially week one last year.
I'm going to say that game two. What is your sleeper game?
My sleeper game, I'm going to say the Raiders-Saints. I think Raiders, we know about them. They're moving in the right direction. Saints should be improved as well. Two good offenses. Should be an exciting game.
I'm going to say Miami-Seattle, because there's all sorts of murmurs about the anthem, the 9/11 tribute. There's a lot of off-the-field things surrounding that game that are really weird. So we'll have to figure out how that plays out. And also Ryan Tannehill has to step up. This is a big, big year for him. What's your game to watch the final round of the BMW Championship during?
Browns-Eagles. Miserable game. Two of the worst teams in the league this year.
Yeah, but Joe Biden's showing up for that game. Don't you want to see him celebrate touchdowns?
All right, I'll watch it just for a few moments. Then that's it. Then I'll go back to golf.
For me, it's the Monday night game. For me, it's the Monday night game. The 10-20 game. I have zero interest. And finally, your Survivor game.
Well, for the game itself, I'm taking the Seahawks at home against the Dolphins.
The Packers in that game. Your player to watch today is?
I'll take Robert Mathis with the Lions, or rather with the Colts against the Lions, up against a rookie lineman. He'll get after Stafford all day.
Ryan Fitzpatrick has to play well, and how will Joseph R. Biden Jr. dance? Luke, it's been a great one.
Happy to have football back.
That it is. Have a great football Sunday. Actually, we have 10 seconds. What's your favorite dance move, Luke, really quick?
The Dirty Bird.
That's good. And for me, it is, I don't know, the wave. see everybody.